Blog Talk Radio.
Benita Applewhite, known as Professor Apple to many of you, coming to you this morning with a great topic to discuss with all of you about discrimination. What is discrimination? I think that the theme of discrimination says so many things to people about racism, and it's a lot more than racism that we're talking about when we talk about discrimination. We thank this morning our sponsors, White Apple Institute, for the work that's being done with students as far as getting counseling services and small grants in crisis situations and advocacy and referral for those who are having challenges with enrolling or staying in school, and also those entering into the workforce or trying to maintain in the workforce. So make sure you get in touch with whiteappleinstitute.org, and if you have anyone that is having challenges with learning disabilities, mental health issues, especially any kind of disability, and they're finding themselves challenged by trying to return to school. Or work. I mean, yes, we're at work or school. Okay. And also, we thank Dr. Jamila Williams for helping us out with all travel. If you guys are interested in travel at all, in any aspect, cruise, bus, whatever, plane, please make sure you give us a call, and we'll get you in touch with Dr. Jamila Williams, who makes a generous contribution back to White Apple Institute for all those booked for travel, and she finds the best rates out there. Also, we have an online shopping that is through Lioness, and we are willing to help you with discounts. So that's with Lioness, and that's handled by the Nora Arnold, and she's available at White Apple Institute. .org, or you can call 480-471-8082. And our most generous sponsor, Operations Veterans Promise, who I hope will join us this morning in our show. And he, the director, CEO, is Michael, and he is going to, and Michael Angelowski. And he is going to share some things about what's going on with veterans and discrimination issues that he may be able to shed some light on. You know, because what we're trying to do here, my friends, is to make sure that as we bring up these topics that are very controversial topics, we also want to bring in optimism. And the hope that we are all going to move in a direction of looking at things more positively. And so, therefore, we know that discrimination and exists and many other issues. This is reality. that we do have problems in our world. But the other part of that is how we perceive them as fatal, okay, fatalistic, or whether we see them as journeys, and that we all have to overcome that and learn something from what we're going through as far as the problems in our personal lives, in our social lives, and our global lives. So we hope that you join with us this morning by calling in to 646-727-3758 and coming into our live show to chat with us. And also our chat line is open now, and that means that you can actually write into us about any of the issues that come up on the show this morning. So without further ado, let's get into what discrimination is and what our show is all about this morning. So we have a great many students and veterans and teachers that have discussed discrimination with me and openly on the internet and written to me on several occasions, many, many occasions. And the question is there discrimination against students with disabilities? Well, most of us know that there's discrimination against people, persons with disabilities. So, of course, students would be inclusive in that. So the first step is defining what discrimination is and determining if you or someone you know is experiencing it. And that discrimination, all of the ostracism, which means the pushing away of people in a society because they are different than others, and some of the stigmas that are reported by many adult students, including veterans with mental disabilities especially, has stopped them from seeking treatment as far as counseling, psychiatric treatment, medication, even with the new thoughts on medical marijuana helping many of the veterans with PTSD. There's been reluctance and controversy around so many different issues. But we encourage our veterans, we encourage our students to make sure that they seek the appropriate treatment for their disability or symptoms. And that's the hard part, is recognizing that the word or the concept of disability does not mean that you are a lesser person. It actually, if I can help to re-educate our society, as many other organizations are doing out there, to look at the fact that everyone has a dis in their abilities. And so it depends on the severity of the disability and how much limitation one is experiencing in their life to really determine what kinds of accommodations are needed, and also to fight as far as advocacy for the rights of those who are being discriminated against. But it's really important that everyone realizes or begins to realize, and if it's not you, someone else that you know, that they are valuable and important for our society. They are important for humanity, whatever the symptoms are, that there's treatment available and a person can still go on and have a very valuable quality of life. So let's not ever forget to shake someone's hand or encourage someone that is having difficulties with staying on a job, getting a job, or getting into school or staying in school. Let's look a little deeper and recognize that they may have problems that we are not aware of. And let's encourage them to seek treatment and to seek accommodations, seek counseling, and
and embrace the encouragement that you're giving them. My friends, also this morning, I wanted to make sure that we start off with a good definition of discrimination. I don't want there to be any loose thoughts about that. Discrimination is a prejudice. It is a prejudice. But again, those words prejudice, like discrimination, usually indicate to most people racism. But it is actually just a note of different treatment of an individual based on what group someone perceives they belong to or a category they belong to. And it's a way of treating people badly, poorly, making them feel that they do not fit into the norm. It's a behavior. Discrimination is a behavior that can either influence the individual to drop out of school or work, unfortunately, sometimes life. And so discrimination becomes a very heavy issue of the way that we practice it in our society. And so many of us, believe it or not, are subject to discriminating against others. Now, you might say, well, no, I've never discriminated against anyone. However, whenever you develop a stereotype about a certain individual or group, and you hold that as someone who could be regarded as not equal to you or suspicious in character, then you are indeed putting that person in a discriminatory category, okay? And lately on the news, we've been listening to a lot of information about Trayvon Martin's murder by George Zimmerman, the accused killer of Trayvon Martin. And it's all over the news. And one of the things that Trayvon Martin, suspected killer, accused killer, has said is that it was self-defense. But in so many ways, we hear discriminatory remarks that many people use as far as looking at someone of a different color, a different race, and saying that they look suspicious because they're different from another person. So I want you to keep in mind, though, and this is just my own personal intervention on this, is that I hope that we can tone down any kind of racial slurs, especially political statements about racism that may cause any kind of upset in our society that could lead to violence or aggression towards others. So whatever happens in this trial, I hope that really, that those words sing out and that we continue to focus on the fact that God is love and allow that energy to surround us as we discuss many of the issues that are going on in our world. So what is discrimination against those with disabilities? Okay. Based on the philosophers from way back when, the disability in itself is something that is viewed as persons that do not fit into the norm. And the norm is set by the majority. So the majority of people set that norm. And what has happened throughout the years, especially in the United States, is that we have fought very, very hard to put laws into place that help us to deal more with discrimination issues, discrimination against people with disabilities. And we have a caller that has been on hold, and I do want to recognize that caller this morning. Good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite. How are you? 254.
Good afternoon, Dr. Applewhite. This is Greg Dobrowolski.
Oh, Greg Dobrowolski, how are you? Good morning. And I definitely want to bring you into this discussion that we're having so that all of our listeners out there will recognize, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Greg is part of the Operations Veterans Promise. And Operation Veterans Promise is one of our sponsors for the Student-to-Teacher Show. And we appreciate the fact that Greg is coming on the show this morning and will discuss some discrimination issues and also tell us a little bit more about the organization of OVP. So, Greg, we will get back to you in just a moment, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So for right now, my friends, what I wanted to do was give some awareness to the fact of what some of the organizations out there are doing, such as NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, has already looked at not only PTSD issues with veterans and other people. Veterans are not the only ones who are dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder, but as a disability. But there are many, many other people out there that are dealing with mental illness and mental disabilities, and the National Alliance on Mental Illness has so many ways of helping people to get through the embarrassment, the so-called apprehension of others to engage in discussion about what's happening with them when they experience different things in their life, like some of the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder or any type of mental illness, whether you feel like you're lacking sleep or having the shakes in your hands, sweating, any type of lack of concentration, especially fears, anxiety. You need to get in touch with someone, a family member, a friend, talk to them, and get some resources within your own community so that you can overcome this, because you can. You can definitely overcome it. It's powerful. Mental illness is a powerful thing that can overtake people, and because of all the stigmas in our society, definitely can hurt others so badly that they do not want to come forward. But I promise you that because we fought hard for laws, because we advocated, because there are many of us like myself who are willing to help those who find themselves confused about whether or not they should come forward and talk about their disability, physical and mental disabilities, because of that, I promise you that there is hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel. So I want you to share that out there. And please take a look at what the National Alliance on Mental Illness is doing. That's NAMI, NAMI.org. Okay? All right. So that was for the students and teachers and veterans out there that are listening to share with others. You know, one moment. Okay, one moment. We are going to get into the seven signs of discrimination against veterans at work, because we're going to bring Greg back on to discuss some of these issues with us. And Greg, if you're there online with us, I want you to help me to get through these seven signs. So we're going to talk about the seven signs of discrimination that were reported with the I'm sorry, I'm trying to find the actual source. Donna Ballman actually brought this source out on AOL Jobs. And Greg, the first one is that employers say the job is no longer available. That is one of the discriminatory issues that she brings out about veterans returning to a job that they've held before. Many employers don't want to hire veterans, and they refuse to hire military people because they think that, especially those that are in National Guard or whatever, are or reservists on other capacities, are not going to continue with work. And I'll stop there. Those are two different issues right there that I'd like to discuss with you and find out what your comments are on those.
And actually, I did experience a lot of that while I was in the Army. Well, not experience, but heard stories from the National Guard members that when they were, after they were deployed especially, and since the, many of them have been through multiple cycles, employers were worried about hiring them again, not knowing whether they were going to have to retrain an employee for another year, and then once the veteran comes back, then what do they do with the employee they just trained? So I heard that there's a lot of issues, especially with high deployment rates.
And that can cause employers to feel, I mean, employers are interested in productivity, and they want to know that someone is going to be consistent with them. And so this is, but again, this discrimination against veterans or even students with disabilities that people assume overall that they may not be consistent, they may not be dependable, is an overwhelming stigma that's out there in society that we have to break that stigma. We have to address it. Don't you agree?
Yes, and I do agree that the situation exists, and it's a loss for many veterans, especially when they're serving their country, which is actually where I believe our project can help, as in our construction training program, the residential housing assistance, and the bioenergy production, just as an example, which we'll be, we will be hiring veterans for.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I want to get to that as we move on. I want you to give a great synopsis of what you're doing, what Operations Veterans Promise is doing to help veterans and put them to work. This is great. Unfortunately, there's a lot of veterans who return home with a service-related disability, and we have the Americans with Disabilities Act that is as a protection, okay, and that discrimination cannot be based on disability cannot be. People cannot be discriminated against because of their disability. It becomes an illegal act. And so I wanted our listeners out there to be aware of the legislation that's out there. And you may not be up to date on it or whatever, but that's what White Apple Institute is available for. Or you can call me directly at 480-471-8082. To discuss the ADA requirements, and I'll give you more resources on that. Or definitely join in our chat line and make sure you give me your email. But you can see that when we talk about the discrimination issues, the different signs of discrimination, Greg, and I appreciate you joining in with me to talk about this, that medical conditions, disability conditions, are definitely looked down on, and not just with veterans, but with everyone. Do you have any thoughts on veterans with disabilities being discriminated against?
Well, oftentimes it depends to the nature of the disability and to what degree someone is functional. I think for the most part, even veterans coming back from Iraq, for many of them, they're still completely able to at least hold administrative jobs, and many have complete our cognitive capability.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, without further ado, because we're running into a time frame, I want to make sure that we do get to the crux of what Operation Veterans Promise is all about, and if we have time after that, we will go back into the discrimination issues. But for those of you that tuned into the show today, especially those veterans out there that are trying their best to get back into the school and the workforce, I think this is going to be an important show for you to understand a little bit more about what's going on out there in the world for veterans. Go ahead, Greg. Tell us a little bit about Operation Veterans Promise.
Okay. Our project is a combination of a construction training program, residential housing assistance, and bioenergy production and community relief assistance. It requires the deployment of contact teams of up to 18 personnel, veterans, to a developing Caribbean nation. The teams will establish the foundation for all four components listed above and initiate operations. Once established, the program anticipates training approximately 75 to 100 veterans cycled every 12 to 18 months. Our program's low startup costs rooted in the small, mobile, and self-supporting bioenergy and aspect of the project. Once the bioenergy production is established, our residential and training facilities will begin. And once those are completed, the training facilities will be populated with veteran students, instructors, and then we will commence training. The program includes the basic construction principles of carpentry and painting, electrical, plumbing, concrete and masonry, welding, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems, and roofing. A byproduct of our program is a quantity of small residential units built upon the residential shipping containers we'll be using to deliver the feedstock for our bioenergy program. These efficient economical residential units will be donated to local community leaders and distributed to local residents in need.
At the
conclusion of our...
Let's go back over those four components again to make sure our listeners got those. The four components that OVP, or Operation Veterans Promise, is projecting. Those four components again, is bioenergy. I want to break those down.
Bioenergy, construction training program.
And
residential housing assistance. And community relief assistance.
Okay. And was there one more?
I believe that those were the four main ones.
Bioenergy. Construction is a separate one from bioenergy.
Yes.
Is that right?
The construction training program is a carpentry electrical one.
Right. And then housing and then community relief.
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's break those down. Because, you know, to you and me, we understand community relief can mean different things. We understand it. Let's break it down for our listeners. When we say community relief, what are we talking about?
Well, when we speak of community relief, on the initiation of our operation since we'll be in a developing Caribbean nation. Access to, for example, water is a scarce commodity. We'll be hoping to donate machines and helping them run it so they could start as in local community relief for just water treatment programs.
Okay, so you're talking about within a community, whether it's in the United States or in another country, that community gets some relief from whatever problems they're dealing with. Does that sum it up pretty well?
Yes, because we'll be also generating our own electricity and producing water locally and distributing locally. Water is a precious commodity out there. Even though the Caribbean nations are surrounded by water, it's all salt water.
Right. And so what you're saying is that with all of the efforts that are going into this community relief projects, that you'll be able to help veterans to have an opportunity to go to work.
Yes, on our training program and as potential candidates for employment, once the training program is complete, or initially we're seeking on our site several job openings for veterans that are interested in joining. excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question that's very, very important to many of our listeners out there. If a soldier comes to you, a veteran comes to you, woman, man, with disability, how open is the not only just Operations Veterans Promise, but the vendors, the people that you work with, to hiring and supporting veterans with disabilities?
Oh, actually, very. We're very receptive and supportive. Part of the main operation is, yes, we're helping local communities outside of the United States, but all the funds generated from the program will directly be donated back into veterans outreach organizations back in the States. And part of the program will actually have them, we're going to look in networks so that we have access through one network and the veteran can reach any of the supported sites that we're assisting via our site anywhere in the nation.
Wonderful, wonderful. And we have another caller online, I believe, from your organization. Hello, this is Dr. Applewhite.
Hello, ma'am. How are you?
Good morning, 708. Hello, Michael, is that you? Hi.
Good morning, Dr. Applewhite. How are you?
Good morning. Very good. And it sounds like you're doing great this morning.
We're not doing too bad. We've been very, very busy.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Greg is doing a great job in explaining things about Operations Veterans Promise and the four components that are being projected from your organization. And we were just answering a question that would be, you know, very, very important to our listeners out there about whether or not the organizations you're dealing with are open to veterans with disabilities. And Greg gave a great summary on that. What is your feeling about that, sir?
Well, there again, we have to, just like any other organization in the United States, comply with all laws. But at the same time, considering our origins as veterans ourselves, the issue is a lot more personal to us.
Mm-hmm.
As Greg had stated earlier in the interview, talking about veterans with disabilities in general, the military has found ways in which to take disabled veterans, combat injured veterans, and still maintain positions for them inside the military. So, the military is being a leader of social change. If the military can find those types of opportunities for veterans, then it should be just as easy, if not easier, because of the lack of, or at least the introduction of different stressors in those environments for the civilian world to do the same.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Setting the model. That a successful model, and that's what's been done, not only with all the policies, the laws, or whatever that are in place, but with people like yourselves, with Operations Veterans Promise. What you and Greg are doing is just marvelous out there in the community, and we're hoping that other organizations, especially those that are in a state of philanthropy, can donate to the cause so that you can continue your work. What happens when a potential donor out there listens to Operations Veterans Promise and the student-to-teacher show and says, I want to help out with what you guys are doing out there. It sounds important. What should they do?
Well, first and foremost, the easiest thing to do is contact with us, connect with us, through the website and the homepage. We can establish the necessary dialogue to best direct the opportunities and efforts that particular donor brings to the organization. Some donors donate cash, some donors donate time, and some donors donate services in kind. And in all situations, we may have need use of all of them, but we might not have need or use of all of them in their entirety. So what we do is we collaborate with other organizations like your show, and there's the public relations people that we've connected with, Christina Northfleet and her people in North Carolina. Ron with the Shackley folks. All of these organizations have come together and collaborated with us to best utilize the resources that are coming available to be the most beneficial for our veterans. So a donor comes to the site, we connect, and we start establishing what they have to offer, what they have to contribute, and where best it fits. And then the second most important thing is to leave comments and messages, because there are people that are scrutinizing the website. They're wanting to see what kind of impact and outreach the organization is having, especially since we're new. But then there's another one that Greg hadn't had the opportunity to get to yet, and that is our organization has drawn the attention of several large corporate donors. And those donors have intimated to us that if we can develop the type of interest and if we can develop the type of support that their community outreach and their corporate responsibility departments look for, they're willing to underwrite us. And what we're looking for isn't a large sum of money, because Operations Veterans Promise is a slightly different organization. Most nonprofits run around and spend the bulk of their time sourcing funds because they only have a limited amount of capital to work with and for a limited amount of time. So essentially what happens is that's a cycle that repeats itself every year. OVP will only do that one time. At that point in time, OVP doesn't maintain itself, but it creates a residual income that can then be contributed to other outreach programs.
Okay. One moment. I want to make sure that you are being picked up by, let's see, I want to make sure that your voice is being heard here. I'm having some challenges with the, okay, here we go. All right, fine. Yes, you're on. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right.
So the OVP creates a new model, but it's only new as it relates to veterans outreach. The model actually already exists. Paul Newman and his organization, Newman's Own, went and did the same thing with the same process with children's outreach. They took a product that they immediately put out to the public, and instead of trying to draw a profit off of it and generate an income and a market base and so forth and so on, and then get into a donation cycle, transition from a for-profit business to something that's not for profit or more collaborative with the nonprofit community, they went straight into donating whatever they were making. They covered their expenses. They began to immediately start donating to other organizations, and they grew, and so too the organizations that they helped. Well,
wonderful.
It didn't take much for us to figure out we could do the same thing.
Let's look at the factor, and we really appreciate you sharing with us what this great organization is doing, and we certainly appreciate you pulling White Apple Institute on board as one of your supporters. And I really, really appreciate this great agreement that's going on between us to help veterans out there, specifically in our case, veterans with disabilities who are trying to go to school and enter the workforce. I wanted to go back for a minute on something that Greg had said earlier. He said that he experienced some things related to discrimination himself. And I just want to make sure that I backtrack on that, Greg. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And any comments that you have on what Michael just shared with us on OVP? But first, I want to make sure that our listeners get a real good grasp of discrimination issues, and we have a few other callers online that I want to make sure that I get to. So can you tell us a little bit about the experience that you were talking about earlier? You related to?
Oh, my experience, and this is from speaking to employers, because oftentimes, not potential candidates, but as acquaintances of people I know, is oftentimes they're worried about hiring a veteran or rehiring because of the deployment cycles, high deployment cycles, especially if they were still in the reserves or active duty. That was the main argument, was the fact that they were going to disappear for a year, and they had to deal with the situation.
Greg, if I may?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Dr. Applewhite, I can speak to that from an employer's perspective. And think about it from our end. A young veteran comes out of the military. He's transitioning back into civilian life. And he is going to come to me and seek a job. And I'm more than willing to employ him. He's relatively educated, if not well-educated. He's disciplined. He's reliable. The unfortunate thing about it is when someone leaves the military, they sometimes leave it with an administrative piece of baggage still attached to the military that they don't necessarily expect, and most employers don't anticipate, will impact their operations. And that is, and you yourself are prior military. When you sign your contract, you sign for a certain amount of active duty, but you also you sign for a certain amount of reserve time or inactive reserve time.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, in the current cycle, a lot of employers are being stung by having former veterans who have been discharged but still responsible for their IRR service, that 2 or 4 year window, depending, to complete their contract with the Army. So
this
essentially
is
what happens is a soldier that's not thinking about it and an employer that's not prepared for it winds up losing a soldier for national need. Now, if you've got if this person is in a critical position within your organization, you have to ask yourself, once that position's vacant because the soldier's deployed, who are you really going to put in there? Now, here's the other component in this. I'm an employer. I establish a contract with you. In that contract, you're going to do something and I'm going to do something. And in both situations, we both have some circumstances of reliability and commitment to both halves of our respective halves of the contract. Well, if I employ you to replace the soldier that's left, if the contract isn't specific that it's temporary, and that one little aspect of the conversation is overlooked, when the military member comes back to assume his responsibility, his position with his employer may still have a commitment with the fill-in.
Yes.
So
the
employer the employer is now penalized for having a soldier in his ranks or a veteran in his ranks who meets his commitment and fulfills his contractual agreement with the Army and by no fault of their own. Both of them are penalized.
Yes.
Now, when you sign the contract as a soldier, you sign the contract with the government, and the government signs it with you, and the relationships are with you. But when you go and sign your contract with your employer, that doesn't necessarily mean the contractual relationships for the Army follow through into the civilian world to give the indication to the employer of your potential responsibilities and or, at this point in time, no easement or adjustments or adjudications for the employer once they use a temporary employee.
Wonderful, wonderful explanation of that. And for those of you who are out there listening, I want you to also broaden your understanding of this by the factor that what Michael just shared with us is based on just the veteran issue itself. When you expand that into veterans with disabilities, you have a compilation of different issues that the employer is dealing with. And so, therefore, discrimination, as I mentioned earlier in the show, it creeps in only because at this point we have those not only just stereotypes, but some even factual issues related to whether or not someone is going to do the job. Are they really going to be there for this company and produce? So thank you, Michael, for that. Any other further statements on discrimination issues at all?
Well, and I can tell you from personal experience that I've witnessed soldiers that were injured that had, in some cases, limited disabilities being discriminated against, not only by employers, but universities. And there again, in a college level, unfortunately, those things manifest themselves in such a manner that it's a back-end type of problem or issue and not necessarily a front-end. But there again, the situation exists, and there again, that would fall more into the scope and understanding and the foundation of your particular program, which is reaching out to those that are involved in the educational systems.
Yes.
That's why it's so important.
Yes.
So that's
go
why
ahead.
It's so important for companies like OVP and others to launch similar to OVP to do the exact same thing. A company
yes.
makes a profit and takes care of itself in its own, and that's fine. But if we can launch a few companies, as many as it takes, that take care of the individuals within the organization and then can still outreach to other veterans, we wouldn't
mm-hmm.
there wouldn't be a need for a VA. We would actually be able to maintain and help our own. And I hate to say it in the circumstances, but
yeah.
the some organizations are designed to spend a significant amount of time filtering people out of a scenario where they're seeking help and have need, and have earned that right. When you raised your hand to deploy or to be a service member, if anything had happened to you during the time of your contract in the military, you, by nature of your contract, you have an agreement from the government that they're going to take care of you forever, or at
mm-hmm.
least until you die.
That
well,
is true.
Unfortunately, not all veterans are receiving that type of reciprocal commitment for signing their name to the dotted line.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
And
let's see if we have a question or comment from any of our listeners this morning with approximately 12 minutes left on our show. We have a 480 number calling in. Hello, this is Dr. Applewhite.
Hi, are
good morning.
You speaking with me?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. I am not a veteran. However, I am disabled. And one of my first reactions when people see me and treat me as if I'm automatically less than competent, is my first reaction is irritation.
Mm-hmm.
However, I try to diffuse the situation with humor. I was not in a position where I was seeking employment. However, I was at our local shopping mall when they were having tryouts for the TV program Jeopardy.
Oh.
And I'm in line with hundreds of other people. I'm in my motorized chair, and the mall security came over to me and told me I could not be in the line. And I said, oh, is there another line for people with disabilities? And he's like, no, you can't try out.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
yes.
First reaction was irritation. My second reaction was to smile at him sweetly and say, you know, I understand that many people do sit on their brains. However, I am not one of those. The people around me got a big chuckle out of it, and he harumphed and left me alone after that. But,
well,
you know,
we certainly
it happens day in and day out.
Yes, and sharing what you feel as far as discrimination that exists for people with disabilities. And we appreciate your voice on this broadcast this morning. And what we're hoping for is that we can open up, broaden the people's minds about not only our students and our veterans out there, but how we are all reacting to each other. Overall, that's the big picture. Okay, so thank you so much for sharing that with us. Any comments
okay.
for Operation Veterans Promise guest this morning? I'm sure you heard a little bit of what he was saying there.
I think what you guys are doing is absolutely awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You have recognized the need, and you're doing your best to address it. And I think all of us, regardless of our abilities or disabilities, need to do that.
Wonderful.
So
wonderful.
Kudos
Thank
to you guys.
Thank you. And we have another caller online to see if we have any comments or questions for the Operation Veterans Promise program that's going on, or for the discrimination issues that we're talking about overall. It's a 602 number. Good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite.
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Applewhite. This is a wonderful program. I really appreciate your guests this morning, and I'm mm-hmm. going to get on the Internet afterwards to find out more about it so that we can spread the word to other
yes.
people or organizations. So that people know that there is help out there, and it's just fascinating the way this is developing. And I wish the OVP organization all kinds of success. God bless you all.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And if you yourself can tell us a little bit if you've experienced discrimination, if you feel it does exist out there, especially for students, veterans, have you had any experience with that yourself?
I really haven't, but I support everyone. I can understand how this can happen. I really haven't experienced anything myself or in any circumstance that I would be very close to relating a situation, but I am a listener, and I understand, and I'm willing to pass the word around to other people and make them try to make them more aware of these problems that our fellow human beings are experiencing. I absolutely support, and I'm sympathetic completely to the situation.
Background noise here. Thank you very much for closing that out. One of the things that I hope that everyone gets from this show today is, like I said at the very beginning, is not only the definition of discrimination applies to many of us when we go out into the world and we begin to start looking at differences in people and assigning them as lesser human beings, lesser quality, lesser value than ourselves, that we must be aware when we're doing that type of thing. Most important is that we understand that the overall picture of all of the things that we talk about on the Student to Teacher Show deal with the humanity issue, that not whether you're a student or veteran, we must all come together in some kind of agreement that we're going to treat each other as equals. Don't you agree, Gregory?
Yes.
Are you still there, Gregory? Do you agree with what I said just now?
Yes, Dr. Applewhite, and I believe in the military we're taught best the person to your left and the person to your right. You know, your life may depend on them. Their skin color, disability, or what level they're on is not that important.
That's right. Anything else you'd like to say in closure of today's show, Greg?
Hopefully, I mean, we can work together and we can reach out to as many veterans and students and impact as many people's lives as possible.
I mean, you're doing a lot more work than just coming on the show, hopefully on a very regular basis, and sharing information. And so we appreciate you for being here this morning. I have a few things, and please, Michael, if you have anything to add on at the end here, we'll definitely give you a little time for that. But I have some news that I wanted to share with our veterans out there that are listening, our students also, that there is a college credit, and a lot of people are not aware of this. There's college credit for military service. And so if you're interested in learning more about that, please make sure you contact us at whiteappleinstitute.org and so that we can help you to understand how you can get college credit for your military service through organizations like ACE, the American Council on Education, and also CLEP. And you can put those into Google and find out a little bit more about them. Definitely if you need more information and support in doing that, please make sure that you connect with us. So that was part of the news that I wanted to share with you. And please, veterans out there, get in touch with your local organizations. There's nothing like being among the people that have dedicated their time, their loyalty to our government, and being brothers and sisters involved in protecting our nation. So make sure that you gather in a group with others to support what you're trying to do. Anything else you wanted to add in, Michael?
Yes, ma'am. In light of your show, and the subject matter for today's broadcast, it's unfortunate that it exists, and it's one of those things that we all have to work to ensure that, one, we don't perpetrate the acts and the behaviors which perpetuate it, and then for those folks that experience it, there's nothing out there that says that they have to tolerate it to any degree. But
yes,
in conjunction with your show offers and the programs it supports and ours, there are people out there who care. There are people out there who want to help. There are systems out there in place.
Yes.
Educate yourself. Make yourself available to them. Take as much advantage of the opportunities that are put there for you. And as far as our folks are concerned, this message goes out to veterans. It goes out to active duty military personnel. It goes out to family members of the organizations. Come to the site. Read our mission.
Yes.
Learn a little about us. You need nothing more than to leave a message to our corporate sponsors as to the outreach we have, the impact that we can create. And for those people that we are helping directly, express the rewards received by our contributions and by our collaborations.
Wow.
Don't give them an opportunity to say or to think this is something that they don't want to do or continue to do.
One of the things I shared just recently, thank you so much, with a fellow woman veteran, is the fact that here she is at 28 years old, and she's trying her best to get back into the workforce, the civilian workforce, and has had tremendous difficulties. And she's constantly looking at the fact that there are other people that are doing much better than she is. And so one of the things that I left her with in our last conversation, and I'd like to share that with our listeners out there, is I encourage you not to compare yourself with others, because in comparing yourself with others, you will always find those that are doing less than you are, doing worse than you are, and you'll always find those that are doing better. I encourage you, and I know that the staff of Operations Veterans promises you that you need to look within yourself, build your own self-value system, and avoid comparison with others. Know that you need to only be your best. So with that, I close the show with wishing you much love and peace this morning, and hoping that you will support, go into the website where Operations Veterans Promise. Michael or Greg, please give that website again.
Oh, we're at www.operationveteranspromise.org.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for joining the show this morning, and we look forward to more of the input from Operations Promise in the future. And this is Dr. Applewhite signing out and wishing you much love and peace as we close our show this morning with Wes Ricks from Two Worlds. Thank you very much. God bless all of you.
Love Talk Radio.